Jy luister na RSG Geldsaake met Money Web Potgoeie met gasheer Ryk van die Kerk. RSG Geldsaake met Money Web, jou betroubare bron vir sake en beleggingsinsigte.
Mirror Trading International of MTI was die grootste Ponzi-skema ooit in Suid-Afrika en een van die grootste crypto-skemas tot nog toe in die wêreld. Nou, MTI het in 2019 ontstaan en het beleggers opbrengste van tot 10% per maand beloof en dit sou behaal word deur 'n spesiale verhandelingsbot wat in Bitcoin sou verhandel het en dan hierdie opbrengste lewer. Nou, meer as 250.000 mense het volgens berigte so wat 22.000 Bitcoin in die skema belê voor dit in 2020 in duie gestort het. Nou, likwidateurs het later gesê daar is so wat 6.900 Bitcoin kort of is gesteel. Nou, dit maak seker nie saak teen watter prys jy nou die som wil maak oor hoeveel dit in rand is nie, maar dit beloop miljarde rande. In 2020 teen die wisselkoers en die Bitcoinprys was dit so wat 2 miljard rand. Nou, die meesterbrein agter MTI was Johan Steinberg. En hy het in December 2020 regtig met 'n sak vol Bitcoin na Brasilië gevlug. En in April van jaar het die Brasiliaanse media berig dat hy gesterf het. En in Augustus het Brasiliaanse owerhede die kriminele ondersoek teen hom gesluit. Maar sedert sy dood was daar gedurig gissings dat Steinberg dalk nie dood is nie en dat hy sy dood vervals het. Steven Tim is 'n bekende Suid-Afrikaanse joernalis en hy het onlangs na Brasilië gereis om in Steinberg se voetspore te gaan loop en om te kyk of dit werklik in 'n graf geëindig het. Steven, thank you so much for your time tonight. Tell us the story, why and where did you decide to go to Brazil to see whether Steinberg...
I think it started back in, you know, when he was arrested and then I approached... I don't want to shame them online, but, you know, I did approach my broadband and they, I don't know, they didn't respond. So, you know, I lived in Brazil in 2014 and 15 and I thought, you know, this, it's a country close to my heart, you know, and I thought if anyone is going to tell this story, and I can speak Portuguese and, you know, so I thought it's got to be me. I have to do this. I've written a book about a fraudster in the startup space before. And, you know, then suddenly I see the word came that he died in April. So, time was running out. I basically thought, I knew that, you know, people's memories, they're short. So like, there was just a missing part, you know, and I'm a journalist and I'm a cynic. And I thought, you know, what the hell happened in Brazil? You know, there was this whole, this is literally one of the biggest cryptocurrency scams of recent time. And so I thought there has to be, you know, someone has to go over there. It's a duty, you know, like someone has to go over there. And I kind of,
So you got onto a plane and you went, and I think it's a fantastic idea. So you and so when you landed at the airport, what did you do? How did you pick up the trail?
Oh, well, there was a massive load of planning, obviously, involved before this. You know, I was drawing up like maps on Google Maps. I was saving all the places. First of all, I got hold of the court documents. That was literally the treasure trove. You know, if I had not got hold of those court documents, which actually came via my ex-fiance, she had, as a lawyer, she had access to this legal platform. So it's all legit. I didn't go and steal anything or whatever. Thousands of pages. And until I got that, I thought, you know, I'm wasting my time. But then when this thing came in, and like four of the five legal cases minus the extradition, I got them and I looked through all this stuff and I thought, this is gold. I can't see why anyone didn't ever get, you know, it's everything that some of the stories have touched on, but like actual WhatsApp conversations, like bank statements of where he was. So I just started gathering information like a Sherlock Holmes. I was just extracting everything. And that's kind of like how I started. So I had Excel spreadsheets. biographies, like timelines. Man, it was like it's like a research project, really.
Like you say, Sherlock Holmes. So why do you question, or why are there question marks surrounding his death? Is there any chance that he's still alive?
Look, okay, so I just want to tell everyone because, when someone says conspiracy theory and whatever, they think, oh, yeah, he's like a lunatic or whatever, one of those COVID guys or whatever. So I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm just a cynic. So before I got on that plane on the 6th or 7th of October, whatever, to go to São Paulo, I was like, ah, that's totally, he's dead. He's dead. Finished. Shut and open and shut gate. But when I so I was there. First, I was in São Paulo for a few days. Then I went to Goiânia for like four. It felt like forever, 12 days or something like that, in a hotel mostly. And I did. I discovered some. First of all, his. I went to his the cemetery, the private cemetery where he is, Jardim das Palmeiras. And I got over the phone. I got the you know he's he, this is where his grave is. So I went to the to you know through there, Block E 299. No. These are other people's names. Yeah, there's three other. No, it's not this. So I went back to the administrative block. It's not a massive cemetery. I said, like, you got the wrong one. No, that's the right one. And they showed me on the system. There it is, Cornelius Johannes Steenberg. So I thought, okay. So I went back.
But his name
And I
is not
could
on
see
the
that the
grave.
earth had been moved. No, it's not on the grave. And then I had a conversation with this woman that seemed to be the manager, Paula. She called herself Onias. And she said that, look, okay, so there's the wake that was held before the cemetery, before the funeral, and that's the big thing in Catholic. When you die, the wake is almost more important. It's actually more important than the funeral. And so the wake was on the 23rd before he was buried on the 24th of April. And so there's a camera in the room. So Interpol, apparently on the request of the South African authorities, came out to Paula on 15 days after he was buried and said, okay, Paula, so give us all the documents. And oh, there's a security camera in that room five. Please, can we have the security camera footage? Look, I'm afraid that security camera. It's pointing at the door, and the door, because it's a security camera. Why would you want to point it at the slab where the coffin was is going to be laid with the open, where you could see his face and everything? And I was told by an investor, this person is doesn't want to give their name. They want to speak off the record, and so I've had some conversations with this person. And this person tells me that look, there's they got a footage like from via WhatsApp of his wake, and there's you can see his face, and there's a woman crying next to it. It's probably his boy. It's probably the girlfriend, but it looks a lot different to the photos or something, And this person, I gotta say. Straight out, I did not trust them because they were talking about conspiracy theories and all this and that, and so I can discount that. So the look, there's the evidence is not overwhelming that he's dead. Let's put it that way. It's more like 50-50 that he's it's not convincing. I think
Fifty
my suggestion is
fifty.
that they actually. Yes, I think they actually should exhume his body because given the crimes that this guy is accused of. And he was going at it freaking in São Paulo for a year, man.
Yeah, and then.
And his lawyer, so his
That's my
lawyer
next
is the
question.
main point of call.
Yeah, that's my next question. Talis Jamie, I don't know how you pronounce it. He seems to also raise a few flags with his attitude and responses to questions. Who is this guy, and why is he relevant?
So he's a very powerful lawyer because none of the articles have said that before, but he is the vice president of the Lawyers Association. Now, lawyers in Brazil are very respected. You call them doctor. So this guy is like the big man. His father was a senator or something in Goiás State. He's big shots with like all the. He was in government for 2 or 3 years as a secretary of something or other, a security or whatever. He's well connected, man. He's the head of the country club. This guy avoided all conversations with me, two emails I sent him, various follow-up calls from South Africa to until the only time he ever picked up was when I phoned him from my Brazilian cell phone number, you know? So this guy, why is he acting so? And I had to go to his office, and he was very like cagey, and he was like, "What do you want to know from me?" But I'm like, "I've sent you the questions, man. Those are the questions. No, I don't want to respond on anything. I don't want to comment because I'm going to sort of impinge my name, and I don't have anything to gain from this." But you know,
But just
he's.
There's also an insinuation in the article you wrote for MoneyWeb is that he that Stein, Steenberg, Steinberg may have been held in custody on his farm.
So I got a tip off that he's possibly okay. So Thales Jaime, the lawyer, he had a farm, Fazenda Sardinia, Sardinia farm near Pedianopolis, which is that town where he was under house arrest for 120. It's 120 kilometers northeast of Guyana. But look, I was never able to confirm that, and I'm still trying to. I'm sort of getting sent from pillar to post, which is, as you know, as a journalist, is always like a kind of an alarming.
It's a
It's an
challenge.
alarming thing when you get, So this guy, like, just to lay out, so there's those two things, you know. There's the guy doesn't have a name on the grave, right? Maybe his girlfriend's or his life partner, whatever you want to call it, the family was just too embarrassed to have the name there, so they haven't got round to it or whatever. That camera, okay, so you can say, well, the camera was supposed to point at the door, so obviously it didn't, because it's a security camera, so obviously it didn't get the footage of his face. But you know, there's oh, what was I going to say now? There's just this. What was the guy doing? Like, so he was on house arrest. So just to fill everyone in, so he was arrested on in December 29, 2021 in Goiânia, and he was held in this special custody unit of this Aparecida de Goiás. It's basically a town just below Goiânia, in this prison complex until June 2023. And then at this in June 2023, his lawyer, this Thales Jaime, who's actually, by the way, he's not the first law he this guy went through multiple lawyers, and this is the latest guy he got.
Stephen,
And
Stephen, we'll have to leave it there. Time is not on our side, but I think it's a fascinating story. There are more articles to come, and we'll cover it. But thank you for your time tonight. Dit was Stephen Tim. Hy is 'n joernalis. Sien net vinnig 50-50 kans dat iemand wat seker die meeste geld kon gesteel het ooit in Suid-Afrika nog leef, laat hy sy eie dood vervals het. Ongelooflike storie.
Ek dink hierdie gaan nog 'n lekker storie wees en is in lyn met wat ons het nou stories van pakkies diamante. Ons is stories van jy moet belê saam met Elon Musk en Johan Rupert. Hier's hom nou fenominale stories wat almal hier uitslaan. En ek weet nie wat dit sê van mense dat hulle val vir hierdie stories nie, maar hier's 'n klompie stories en die sleg deel hiervan is altyd mense wat absoluut in sak en as lê en hierdie goed eindig in trane.
Jy het geluister na RSG Geldsaake met Moneyweb Potgoede elke weeksdag om 7 na middag. Vir meer Moneyweb Potgoede, besoek moneyweb.co.za of laai die toepassing af en volg Moneyweb News om dagliks op hoogte te bly.